Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with a killer who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on Joe and McKenzie. Listener discretion is advised.
We do Murder Monday to bring awareness to Crime Stoppers. They let you give tips anonymously. All you got to do is give them a call. Their number, 1-800-222-TIPS. That's 1-800-222-TIPS. Liv the Web Girl, what do you got today for Murder Monday?
Today, I'm talking about the case of Jerry Michael Williams, a.k.a. Mike. So Mike was 41 years old, and he was described as the nicest guy in the world who would do anything for anyone. Mike and his wife, Denise, started dating in high school and all throughout college at Florida State and got married once they both had good jobs right out of college. Denise was an accountant for the state, and Mike was a real estate appraiser. They lived in Tallahassee, Florida, right by their best friends, Brian and Kathy. So Brian was actually Mike's best friend in high school, and the two couples were very close. They got married at the same time, bought houses close at the same time, had kids at the same time, and they even went on vacations together. So best friends. And this friendship lasted so many years, but would come to an end in December of 2000 when Brian got a call from his dad and he found out that Mike was missing. According to Denise, Mike's wife, Mike went out on an early duck hunting trip on Lake Seminole and never came home. Denise was calling person after person, panicking and spreading her concern. Brian and his dad decided they would go to search for him. When Brian and his dad arrived at Lake Seminole, they saw Mike's truck still there, but with no boat and with no Mike. At this time, the Florida Wildlife Commission is called, and by 4 o'clock of that same day, one of the longest and most extensive searches of that area would take place. Mike's families and friends were all out there searching alongside the Wildlife Commission. People were cautiously optimistic, and at this time, no one had the thought that it could be foul play, so they weren't worried about preserving a crime scene. Brian and his dad then find Mike's boat 75 yards off a dock, but with no Mike in it. Inside the boat was 2 life jackets, his shotgun still zipped up in its case, and a bag of decoys. And when they checked the gas tank, they saw that it was totally full, so they realized he couldn't have been out there for any real amount of time. The search went on from December 6th into early February, and they never found a body. So when a body drowns and dies in the water, gases start to get released in the body, and it will eventually start to float. But that wasn't the case, and they never found Mike's floating body. This is when the search party made an official statement that Mike had fallen over, and the alligators in the water dismembered his body, ate him, and stored the remains in a location that could not be found. This theory didn't sit well with Mike's mom, Cheryl, and Cheryl knew that alligators don't feed when it's cold out, and the night Mike went missing, a huge cold front came in, and it was 19 degrees, so the alligators definitely would not have fed on the body. No one took her seriously, and they thought she was in denial, so Cheryl started to keep her own notes, noting people's behavior, any inconsistencies, and anything to prove that her son's disappearance could be foul play. That June, a fisherman found something that prompted a dive team to go to the bottom of the lake where they found a fisherman's jacket, and inside they found a hunting license that belonged to Mike. Denise, Mike's wife, uses this as proof in the court that he was actually deceased. In the state of Florida, you have to wait 5 to 6 years before ruling a missing person dead. But if you have enough evidence to rule that someone is dead, but their body will never be found, then you can get his death certificate earlier. And that's exactly what Denise was trying to do. Cheryl found all of this very concerning, and finally, after years of begging the police in 2004, they took a look at Mike's case, investigating it and looking at the 28 pages of notes that Cheryl had. All of them knew that this could be foul play, but they did not have enough evidence to arrest them. And Brian and Denise were married at this point in 2005. So Brian divorced his wife and finally married Denise. So with them being married, they knew none of them would turn on each other and they might never find out what actually happened. But when we come back, I will tell you what happened to make them turn on each other.
Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on Joe and McKenzie. Listener discretion is advised.
Liv the Web Girl doing Murder Monday today. What are you covering?
I am covering Jerry Michael Williams. So when we left off, Mike's wife, Denise, had married his best friend, Brian. And the cops figured that Mike's death was actually foul play, but they had no way to prove it. So years later, Brian and Denise had separated. And Denise would not take Brian back after he cheated. Then one morning, Denise is pulling out of her driveway when she senses someone is in the car with her. Sure enough, Brian slowly arises from the back seat and holds a gun to Denise's head. Denise notices he has a tarp with him and that he is going to kill her. Brian is whimpering, saying he can't live without her, and Denise is able to talk him down and agree with him in order to get away. She went straight to the police and told them that she was scared for her life, and Brian was arrested and charged for kidnapping and aggravated assault and was sentenced to 20 years in prison. But he made a deal that would ruin Denise's life. The police told Brian that they wanted to know everything about Denise and Mike, and anything he told them he would have complete immunity from since he was already serving 20 years in prison. Brian told them that the affair between him and Denise had started years before Mike went missing. And Denise finally told Brian that she was so unhappy in her marriage and she wanted out. Brian said it was a snowball effect, and they started talking about options and ways that they could be together. But because of the way Denise was brought up, she did not want to get divorced. This was a woman who cared a lot about her image, and she didn't like the way divorce looked. So the only option they saw was to kill Mike.
That didn't make no sense to me. Of course, nobody wants to be shown as like, oh, she's a divorcee, but it's like, a murderer? Like, you murdered
right.
somebody.
Exactly.
Like, isn't that a little bit of a bad look?
I don't think anything's wrong with being a divorcee.
The length.
No, that's what I'm saying. But, like, would you rather be a divorcee or a murderer?
Right. The length someone will go to just to, like, quote unquote, protect their image. So they toyed around with different scenarios until they finally landed on a hunting accident. The plan was for Brian to push Mike in while they were both out on the water and have him drown on his own, so technically it would not be committing murder. Denise and Brian made sure they secured their alibis, and one very early morning, Brian met Mike at a gas station to go duck hunting. Brian told Mike he was going to take him to a secret special spot and that they needed his waders. So waders are basically special weights that someone wears in their jacket, and it's specifically for hunting on the water. They pulled into the special spot, they launched the boat, and Brian told them that they were pressed for time and Mike had to put the waders on right then. Brian believed if he fell over, the waders would sink straight to the bottom of the lake very quickly. So Brian went to a deep area, got Mike to stand up in the boat, and then pushed Mike into the water.
Wow.
Mike was struggling, and Brian pulled the boat away, but he saw Mike taking off the waders and swimming up to a tree stump in the water where he held on to. Mike was panicking and yelling for help, and so Brian took his hunting gun, loaded it, and shot Mike in the head.
Gosh.
Brian pulled Mike's body back into the boat, drove back to where they parked, put Mike's body in his truck, and pushed the boat back into the water and began to drive back to town. He went to the store right away and bought a shovel, a tarp, and some weights. And Brian buried him along the shoreline of another lake far from town, knowing that as the tide rises, it will bury Mike's body deeper and deeper, and his body will be hidden forever. Denise ended up being charged for Mike's murder, and Brian testified against her in court. Denise was sentenced to life in prison, and Brian remains in prison as well.
That is insane.
Yes, and you can see pictures of Brian, Denise, and Mike, and Cheryl, Mike's mom, who was protesting his death for all of those years. You can see all that at our Instagram, at Joe and Mackenzie.
Live the Web Girl, thank you so much today for that Murder Monday.